Live, on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the world headquarters. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, I am joined by our friend Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, maybe a candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We are high atop State Street, but Matt Flynn, we are in downtown Milwaukee, right over our shoulder. For those watching on the stream, we have the Milwaukee County Courthouse. It's a beautiful day here in downtown Milwaukee.
It's wonderful to be here. It is State Street. It's a little different kind of State Street, but perfect day, no clouds, and it's great being here on your show, Todd.
Well, it's always great to have you. You've got your Milwaukee Brewer baseball cap on. And, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, Trigvi Olson and I from the Lincoln Project went around the state. We did our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour, and we didn't get down last time to Milwaukee, but we're going to make it Milwaukee area part of the next What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. But Milwaukee is part of what makes Wisconsin great. There's so much history here. There's so much rich culture here. There's so much tradition. You got Lake Michigan. You got Pfizer Forum. You got the great architecture. You've got Milwaukee beer, of course. And it's just part of what makes it Wisconsin's largest city. And without it, we wouldn't be the same.
Well, you know, it's great you said that, because basically we're all in this together. We're all Wisconsin. So here at the State Fair, you know, the Bucks, the Brewers, the Packers used to play half their home games here in the late 1980s. We have some great corporations here. It's a great city, and it's a great state. So I think every state, Iowa's been described as Wisconsin without Milwaukee. And right. You know, the point is, I think it's good to have a good combination of rural, urban. And I think Milwaukee does it as well as it can be done.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here with you today. I think it's important for our listeners across Wisconsin. I mean, you know, we're up in Eau Claire a couple weeks ago, and I have family up around that area. We've been in Hayward. And I think for a lot of people in that part of the state, you know, they may have never been to Milwaukee before just because of the distance. They really don't have business over here. And so you're absolutely right. Whether you live in Milwaukee, whether you live in Superior, whether you're in La Crosse, Richland Center, Green Bay, Marinette, Madison, we are all in this together. And what affects part of us affects all of us. And I think it's good to have a statewide look to us.
We're all Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking to Matt just a couple of minutes here and his intentions to run for this Supreme Court vacancy. Matt, it also happens to be the 15th of April. It is tax day. I had to pay this year. I delayed it until this morning before I left Madison. Never pleasant, but, you know, it's one of those things that if we don't all pay in our fair share, we can't enjoy all the things that we enjoy about living in a democracy. But your quick thoughts on tax day, and people like Trump, the ultra-rich, they're the ones who are avoiding taxes on today.
Right. And, you know, the thing, if you look at it historically, there was no income tax in this country until the Civil War, and Lincoln imposed one for a brief period of time. But after that, it took a constitutional amendment, and it was about a little over 100 years ago that people voted for it. And the reason was, you can't have a modern nation like ours with the prosperity we have. You can't have that without a fair tax system. And our tax system is as fair as, or fairer than any other country. The problem is that you have people who are billionaires, and I do not criticize people who made money legally. I mean, God bless them. You know, they form a big corporation, they hire a lot of people. I'm very much in their corner. But having said that, there's a handful of people in the society who have amassed a lot of wealth, and they've done it illegally or through monopolies and that kind of thing. For instance, hedge fund managers don't pay income taxes. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
They pay what's called carried interest. They just had their lobbyists go down, give a lot of money, and change the name of their income. So instead of paying 39 to 40%, they pay about 20%. You know, and these are people making billions of dollars.
Right.
And this kind of stuff I can't stand, and that has got to change.
Oh, absolutely. And
I think for working people across the state of Wisconsin, I mean, nobody works harder than folks here in Milwaukee, and really all Wisconsinites are pretty much working people. For working people paying their fair share, you know, we're not talking about people that, hey, you were really successful and you created a $1 million company from nothing. We're talking about people who are making $500 million a year, $1 billion a year. These are the people, the wealthiest of the wealthy, who oftentimes aren't paying their fair share, sometimes not paying anything.
Right. Many times not paying anything. Right. If you take a look at the top 50 corporations that one year, none of them paid anything.
Right. So we paid, at least I paid my, we all paid our taxes. We filed them. Make sure you do as well. If you've been where I have before, not this year, but Todd's been there himself, so I feel your pain. Here's my advice to you. If you feel overwhelmed and you're like, look, I don't want to file because I might file the wrong thing, take advice from someone who's been there. File for an extension today. At least file something. That will get the IRS and the state at least off your back a little while. And also, don't be like Todd did, you know, where I had a business that didn't do well, and I procrastinated, and it caused a bunch of problems. I feel it. I can empathize. I feel your pain. Deal with it. This is one situation where if you put it off, it's not going to get better. Just deal with it. And it's never pleasant. And I think sometimes, Matt, the codes and everything for a person like me is just overwhelming. But get yourself to a tax professional, in a severe case, an attorney, because once you understand it and work it out, it's always better than putting it off.
Yeah, I think that's true. And there are some very, very low-cost options. There are volunteer groups. I'll tell you a funny historical fact. Elvis Presley, now remember how much money he made.
Right.
The IRS will fill out your return for you if you want them to. It's a bad idea because there's some deductions, shall we say, they ain't going to give you.
Right.
Elvis Presley every year turned his money over for the IRS to figure it out.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. You know, and I've always liked Elvis, but when I heard that, you know, he was kind of a simple country guy with an angelic voice, a great voice, and he made a ton of money. He could have hired anybody he wanted to. But he had the IRS fill out his taxes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's I did not know that.
Yeah.
It is 13 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock, Monday, April 15th. Mondays with Matt Flynn. We are live in downtown Milwaukee, the Milwaukee County Courthouse over our shoulder here at high atop State Street. Let's not keep people in suspense any longer, Matt. Last week it was announced that current state Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, a native like myself of Richland Center, Wisconsin, and Southwest Wisconsin, announced she will not seek re-election next year after a fellow liberal court judge Janet Protasiewicz's victory last spring. Bradley told reporters she planned to seek a fourth term in 2025. The 73-year-old jurist said in a statement last week that she, quote, can do the job and do it well, unquote, and was confident she could win re-election if she ran. Quote, but it's just time to pass the torch, bringing fresh perspective to the court, unquote. So Brad Schimmel, the former Republican Attorney General of Wisconsin. He's been in for some while. He's from Waukesha County, just not too far from where we're at, from our home station in this part of the state, WAUK, the Shaw. Of course, no one else to date has gotten in on the liberal side because, and of course, we're outside. I apologize for the sirens here. No one else has gotten in because everybody thought that Ann Walsh Bradley would run again. I think she could win and probably win pretty easily. She's been a proficient fundraiser, but she has decided to step aside. There is an opening now for a wide open Supreme Court seat that will once again decide control of the state Supreme Court until 2026 or 2028, correct? No, to 25. Yeah, until 2028. Because the next two after this one seats that are up are already conservative justices. So this next spring in April of 2025 is going to once again decide whether liberals or conservatives control this court. I know that, Matt, you have thought about this from last week. We talked a little bit over the weekend. Matt Flynn, what are your intentions when it comes to running for the state Supreme Court?
Well, I'm glad that you had me on the show, Todd, because I want to be very, very clear about a couple of things. Right now, as we stand here, I have no plans to run. And there are a couple of reasons for it, and I want to comment on some of the other people. Ann Walsh Bradley is a friend of mine, and she did a superb job for 30 years, and I don't blame her for retiring. That said, that leaves 3 and 3. Now, Brian Hagedorn has stood tall to ratify the last election. He's a Republican, and I would hope that he would do it again. But theoretically, It's 3-3. Whoever wins this flips it again. Can flip it on gerrymandering, flip it on whether or not they ratify that 160-year-old statute about abortion from 1849 when women didn't have the right to vote. So this is an essential election. Now, Schimmel, I know Brad Schimmel, and I've met with him. I've met with him professionally for clients. He, in my judgment, I would be concerned that he would not ratify, not certify an election if the Democrat, if Biden won. I think he could be an election denier. I don't know what his position is. I'll be happy to listen to it, but that's a concern I have. Second concern I have is that he would vote to uphold this ancient statute when women didn't have the right to vote, and that's wrong. Now, who then should be another candidate? That's the issue. Right now, my view of our country is we're in a very perilous time historically. And I think of Germany in the late 20s and early 30s. And at some point, when you look at that race, everybody who's a patriot has to step up and do what he has to do. And if it requires running, fine. I think there are a lot of good judges in this state. There are some names that have been thrown around. One in particular, this Chris Taylor over in Madison, I have severe concerns about. I just want to air them to you, Todd. I've had interactions with her. Maggie Gao, the Governor Evers chief of staff, had been on her staff as well, and she got an appointment and so on. But in speaking with her, I do not believe that she has the depth of legal knowledge, the demeanor. She and I had a conversation, I don't know, 5 years ago, where she told me she objected to some client that I was representing. And I was in private practice. And I was saying, you're a legislator, for Pete's sake. I mean, I just think there's a little too much anger there, my way or the highway. So I would like to see a judge from anywhere in Wisconsin, any county in Wisconsin, or any lawyer who has a good judicial demeanor, has convictions, has values, but listens and doesn't make assumptions and doesn't show that level of anger, quite frankly. So that is my view, and I'm going to stand by and watch it. I will end up supporting somebody, and I want to get this off my chest.
I appreciate you making the announcement here. So you're ruling out entirely or still leaving the door open a little bit?
Well, I guess what I would say is this. If this were a normal political season, I'd say, no, I'm not intending to do it. If you're in Germany in the late 20s and early 30s, and you have somebody like Donald Trump coming in, who's going to appoint a cabinet this time, and federal judges who have already twisted things for him. Three of those Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe v. Wade were put in by him, and Eileen Mercedes Cannon down in Mar-a-Lago. If he perverts the judiciary that way, it's Katie barred the door.
Back after this from live from Milwaukee with Matt Flynn. Don't go anywhere.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, live in downtown Milwaukee on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking with a boy named Matt, actually a man named Matt, Matt Flynn. We appreciate him being here, two-time chair of the Democratic Party and an attorney. We are live in front of the Milwaukee County Courthouse over our shoulder here in the background. It's a beautiful day on one of the rooftops here in downtown Milwaukee. Matt just revealing that at least for now, he's keeping his powder dry and deciding not to run for Wisconsin State Supreme Court next spring in April. Who do you think should run? In addition to Brad Schimmel, who is already in on the conservative side, who do you think should run for the Supreme Court next spring here in Wisconsin? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on either your Apple or Android device. It's free. It takes less than a minute. Is what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who do you think should be a candidate for state Supreme Court? Matt Flynn, I was listening on the way down as well to our friend and colleague Jane Matinair and Greg Bach of Matinair on Air. They were discussing that, and also our friend Pat Kreitlow on Up North News this morning discussing this Supreme Court race. It's going to be so critically important for many of the reasons we've already stated, not the least amongst them, women's reproductive rights. This election next year will once again decide the balance of the state Supreme Court, 5-4, one way or the other. As you look at this race coming up, people are going to be drained emotionally, probably financially in some ways, from being involved in campaigns for this presidential election. U.S. Senate, Tammy Baldwin taking on Eric Hovde. We have a number of competitive congressional races and right on down the ballot. When you have this much of an important race next spring in April, and this thing is going to kick off almost the day after the November election, how does that impact, Matt, historically, these races?
That's an excellent question, and here's the deal. Right now it's April. The primary is next February, if there is a primary, and then the general is next April, about a year away. Right now, there are two phases to this campaign. Right now, people are jockeying around and looking for support and so forth, and I think that's important, and I would welcome qualified people from around the state seriously pursuing this, not assuming that it's all set and done and that Schimmel's going to win, number one. Schimmel probably will not have Republican competition. Yes, it's nonpartisan, but effectively it is partisan. And everybody is going to be consumed with Biden Trump, with Tammy Baldwin, and so on. So there's going to be a lot of under the radar activity. The minute that ends, that'll end in November, is Katie bar the door. Right. And you have to circulate your nomination papers beginning of January, your intent to run. And then it's a very short primary season. So I think there'll be a lot of interest. I'm hoping there's a lot of interest. And I'm simply saying that from my own personal perspective, I'm not going to stand by and see our country go to the dogs, some of these Supreme Court justices and this Eileen Mercedes Cannon. So if Schimmel's the only guy or there isn't anybody else competent, I could change my mind. But right now, I think there's a lot of good candidates out there.
Off the text line, invite you to call us as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tyler Albaugh along with Matt Flynn in downtown Madison in front of the Milwaukee County Courthouse on a beautiful day in downtown Milwaukee. Also off the text line, listening in on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, Cam from Nina texting in says, sorry for another text, but maybe Matt might be able to answer this. Justice Clarence Thomas on the U.S. Supreme Court has missed his appointment this morning with no explanation. The news sources I follow are pretty much minute by minute, and no update has been made on this for a little over 3 hours. How serious is it for someone like him, a U.S. Supreme Court justice, to miss an appointment without explanation? Matt?
Yeah, and Cam, that's a good question. It would depend on what the appointment was. If he didn't show up in court for an oral argument, that would be extraordinary. If he missed a medical appointment or he missed a speech or something, that could be less concerning. I will say that he has taken money for 20 years. And Cam, think of one thing. In the Dobbs case, it was 5-4 to get rid of Roe v. Wade. He was a swing vote. In Shelby County, get rid of most of the Voting Rights Act. In Citizens United, he was 5-4 in all of those, and he has been given money for 20 years. So I would think he's getting a lot of pressure. But more importantly, we can't continue to sit by and watch a Supreme Court that's determined by money.
Also off the text line, WAUK listing on the Shaw here in southeastern Wisconsin. Jack from Merrimack says, Wisconsin Supreme Court, well, I'd hate to lose her from Civic Media's lineup, but how about Maggie Dawn, unquote. Had some other votes last week for Maggie as well. Right. She's an attorney, was the corporate counsel here for the county of Milwaukee up until she joined Civic Media full time. Certainly a formidable candidate, I would think.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And if she's thinking of doing it, that'd be great to hear. Only she can answer.
Right, right. I texted her last week, and because I don't get to listen to each and every day, but I said, did you address this on your show? And she goes, well, no, that's kind of, I'm not sure if she said narcissistic, but she said, that seems a little self-serving. And I said, well, we actually got quite a few, calls and texts asking to think about it. So, look, she's getting some statewide ID through her great, by the way, she's up for Wisconsin Broadcasters Association as Talk Radio Show of the Year. So, I mean, she she's got the name ID out there and the expertise. I mean, I would think that somebody like her, I think it's going to take a name, Matt. I think that Brad Schimmel has already been elected statewide as Attorney right. General. I'm not sure that an obscure circuit court judge in wherever is going to be a formidable candidate unless they have access to millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, this is a good point, and you can't discount name recognition. I do think that once it's clear who the nominees are going to be, that there are going to be a lot of, if you take a look at Jenna Protasiewicz's race, Jenna Protasiewicz is a superb judge. She's a superb circuit court judge. She's a superb district attorney. And when people see that kind of ability, it attracts a lot of donations. I think the money will be there. The question is, where will it be in the primary?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to stick around for one more segment?
If you have time? Yeah.
All right, cool. I think we'll talk a little bit. I mean, we can't ignore what happened. I wanted to focus the show today on Wisconsin, and glad to have Matt here, as well as what happened is happening with the Trump trial out in New York. The other big story that broke throughout the weekend was the Iranian attack on Israel, unprecedented attack there. It involved the UK and the United States and other countries in missile defense type of things, also some aircraft as well in protecting Israel. I want to come back and get your thoughts about this international situation. Nobody knows history better than you, Matt Flynn, so I want to kind of get a historical perspective of what you think might happen there in the Middle East. But I also want to talk about one of those things that make Wisconsin great, and that is Milwaukee Brewers baseball. Matt has his Brewers hat on. Great release from Tim Carpenter, the longtime state senator for this area down here in Milwaukee. And he helped, among others, to get a stamp of Jackie Robinson, or probably Hank Aaron. And it is being released. And Matt, I know you've had a chance to meet Hank Aaron over the years and have some personal history with that. So we'll talk about that, take phone calls about great. The new Hank Aaron stamp and all those other things that make Wisconsin great. We are talking and joined by our friend on this Mondays with Matt edition of the Todd Allball Show, Matt Flynn, author of The Court of Last Resort. Great new book of his. He's an author as well. Is there anything he can't do? Probably not. We'll come back and talk more with Matt Flynn. Take your phone calls as well. As he likes to say, do not hang up your phone calls after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from downtown Milwaukee.
Any damn thing but Sue, I still ain't that bad.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location in downtown Milwaukee from a rooftop here with over our shoulder, if you're watching on streaming, the Milwaukee County Courthouse behind us. I'm joined by our friend Matt Flynn for Matt Mondays with Matt, new segment we're starting here. Whenever Matt has some time, when he's not writing books, his newest one called The Court of Last Resort, right here for those on the stream holding that up. You can buy Matt's books wherever you buy your books, online or in person, perhaps at a nice bookstore in downtown Milwaukee here. Lots of them. Matt, again, thanks for being with us here on a beautiful Monday.
Well, it's great to be here. I love your show, and it's great to be on here with you, Todd.
If you want to join us, feel free to dial in 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Matt spent some time talking about this Trump trial in New York today. Matt's already revealed that as now, he is planning on not running for the vacancy in the state Supreme Court, but also talked about the Supreme Court as well. And really, that's why we're here with the courthouse behind us in downtown Milwaukee. The importance that the courts are going to have in this presidential race, and quite frankly, all of 2024, we are a couple of blocks as well away from Fiserv Forum. We will be back here certainly in July for the Republican National Convention, so appropriate that we're originating the show, Matt, from right. downtown Milwaukee today. Want to take a turn a little bit to the other major story taking up the headlines over the weekend. Of course, Israel had a strike in Syria on the Iranian embassy, which took out some of their leaders here over the weekend. Iran had an unprecedented airstrike, a first time state to state like this, with Iran firing drones and some ballistic missiles directly into Israel. The United States, the UK, I believe Saudi Arabia and Jordan, amongst others, were part of the defense from an air defense system, including planes in some cases. I believe there are a couple of destroyers, U.S. Navy, which you're a veteran of, stationed in the Mediterranean, which helped out on that as well. All reports are that the air defense system of the Iron Dome, as they call it, of Israel held for the most part. I think one missile or whatever struck an unpopulated area. There was a report, I believe, on CNN of a young Israeli girl being severely injured. But by and large, these attacks from Iran fell literally and figuratively short and didn't hit. I think now, for many people, Matt, the angst is, is this going to really fire up and increase this instability? Is Israel going to have a direct response back to Iran now? President Biden over the weekend saying that while he stands firm with Israeli defenses, he is saying that the United States will not be directly involved in a counterattack back onto Iran proper. And adding to all of this, of course, is the fact that Iran continues to try to develop a nuclear weapon. Nobody understands the history of the Middle East better than you, Matt Flynn. Help us walk us through kind of the history, but also the context of what happened over the weekend and what you, as at least one person, see maybe going forward.
Yeah, you said it very well, Todd. And here's the deal. Ever since 1979, which is the so-called Iranian Revolution, where they overthrew the Shah and they became very fundamentalist, Iran has been really, people call it a center of terrorism. It's more or less like a malignant tumor. It's right there. They're the ones that are supporting and paying and giving weapons to Hezbollah, who are Shiites in southern Lebanon, to Hamas, who are Sunnis, and normally they'd be enemies, but they're in Gaza. There's a hatred in Iran, in the popular culture, for Israel and for the United States. You frequently see these massive parades where they shout death to America, death to Israel. And it's a nation that's fueled largely by negative emotions and hate. Mm. The funny thing about Iran is it used to be called Persia. You've heard of Persia. That's several thousand years old, and it was a problem for civilization even then.
Right.
But in the 19, I think it was the 30s, about 90 years ago, they decided to change their name to Iran from Persia, and the old Persian Empire has been shrunk into this small territory. So they changed it to Iran because they are a very racial country. They consider themselves Aryans. That's why Iran. And the Aryans were originally Indo-European Iranian people. They think they're not Arabs, they're not Sunnis. Of all the Muslims in the world, 10% are Shiites, 90% are Sunnis, and there's conflict. So they have done nothing since 1979 but try to destabilize the Middle East and the whole world. Mm. And one of the problems for Israel is they had this vicious attack from Hamas. That was they were really Iranian proxies. You have the Houthis on the Red Sea bombing and kidnapping people. And what do you do? Yes, they're building nuclear weapons. Well, when North Korea did it, we couldn't go in and bomb them because they have a border with China and they're 40 miles from the South Korean border. But here, Iran's a little more exposed. So what do I think is going to happen? The Iranians deliberately didn't launch missiles into urban areas. They knew that would, they deliberately didn't do it to American ships. But that said, they did launch 300 missiles, and several hundred of them were ballistic missiles. I don't know what Iran is going to do. I think Biden is absolutely correct in saying we stand with Israel. We stand with them totally. We are not suggesting a counterattack. I don't know what they're going to do. The one thing I'll leave you with is this, that really I can't stand and that kills me is the Republicans are now bollocksing up the foreign aid bill for Israel, for Ukraine, and for Taiwan. And they'll occasionally, for tactical reasons, say, okay, we'll talk about Israel, but not Ukraine, that kind of thing. Our country, the greatest country in the world, is handcuffed because of a small fringe of the Republican Party who threatened the speaker, who is a one-vote majority. Right. That's got to change. Right. And that concerns me more than anything.
Well, speaking of the speaker, Mike Johnson, the U.S. House, he went down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend and apparently figuratively genuflected and kissed the ring of Donald Trump. And it was all this. They talked about, you know, voter security, and they made this big announcement that that Republicans in the House were going to introduce this bill that would prohibit non-American citizens from voting in federal elections. Now, Matt, you're an attorney. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that's already the law.
Absolutely. You stated it. You're an excellent lawyer. Non-citizens can't vote. Yeah. So they go down and say this because they like to prod people.
Right.
And they're trying to raise the immigration issue and all that. You know, Johnson went down there trying to get Trump support because he only has a one-seat majority. That said, some people say, oh, well, Johnson's heart really is in the right place. I don't believe that.
No.
I don't think so either. Johnson was one of the guys that orchestrated the last attempt to overturn the election. I'm very concerned that if he stays as Speaker, that they'll try to successfully do it this time around.
We're talking with Matt Flynn. It is Mondays with Matt Flynn here on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. If you'd like to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or we'll make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Matt, I want to follow up with this this line of Mike Johnson, rather, and he went down to and kissed the ring of Trump over the weekend on this election integrity thing. To your point, it's just all a sham to gin up the anger of the base, we'll say. But to your other point, this has gotten so dangerous. You're a two-time former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. On Wednesdays, we have our friend Trigvi Olson, who is a longtime Republican like myself. He left the party, but he's run presidential races for John McCain. He kind of ran Mitch McConnell world for a while. I've heard it from him. I'd like to hear your view again. How important this aid to Ukraine is, because if we get it wrong there as a country, and you have Marjorie Taylor Greene over the weekend here, let me see if I can dial up quickly on my phone, literally spewing forth rhetoric from the Kremlin. Here it is. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted out over the weekend. Quote, "It's anti-Semitic to make Israeli aid contingent on funding Ukrainian Nazis. They should separate these bills," unquote. That is straight out of the Kremlin, Matt.
It is.
I mean, how dangerous is this? And the irony of my former party, of Ronald Reagan, who told Gorbachev to tear down the wall, right, is now doing the bidding for Vladimir Putin, a former KGB agent.
Right. You nailed it. And here's my concern. Think about this. We want to talk about Nazis. Stalin, the Russians, allied with Hitler in 1940 to divide up Poland. And it was Hitler that turned on Stalin, but the Russians were the ones that were in bed with the Nazis, not the Ukrainians. She says this kind of stuff. And one of the, let me put it to you this way. How did the party of Lincoln, the party of Reagan, become a party, and I'm gonna explain these terms, basically of sadism, treason, and fraud? By that I mean, when the Russians go in anywhere, they're sadistic. They torture people, they rape them. Donald Trump said, "I'll tell Putin to do whatever he needs to do."
Yeah.
How can he run for president and say something like that in Reagan's party and Lincoln's party? How can he do it? And that's where the sadism comes out. The treason is he is pro-Putin. They have a Putin wing, and there are Republicans who said they're Putin wing. And then the fraud, it's endemic in the party.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dave, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dave, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, first thing I want to say is I really miss your show, Matt.
Dave, it's good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. It was a blow to really all of us when we heard that it was being canceled. Anyway, where did you hear that the Iranians didn't target Israel's major population centers? Because if you look at the skyline of Israel's major city for several hours, I mean, you saw an incredible fireworks show, and which I thought indicated that that was over major cities, and they were interdicting missiles, and that's what caused the fireworks show. So first of all, where did you hear that? Because that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I think, let me rephrase what I said, because it's the same effect. they telegraphed in advance by several days what they were doing. Every intelligence agency knew it. They knew, in my judgment, that the Iron Dome, also the Jordanian, Saudi defenses, the UK and the United States, would shoot them all down. I think, I have no idea what they targeted, and nobody else does either. That said, you're right. The Iron Dome did take down things over urban areas. The point I'm trying to make is that if you want to sneak attack and actually do the damage, then you don't telegraph it the way they did. That's a more correct way of putting it. The second thing I want to say is this, David, is Iran is a malignant tumor. For whatever reason, I'm sure they're very fine Iranian people, but they are a cauldron of hate, of hatred of Israel, hatred of the United States, and I think it's absolutely imperative that the entire administration, and I'm talking about not just Biden, but his Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and everybody gets on board and frankly stops criticizing Israel. I mean, if you were in that country and you, you know, Israel at its narrowest is 9 miles wide, as its broadest is 80 miles wide. It's surrounded by people who continually are threatening jihad. And what do you expect them to do? So I would say that it has always been the position of the Democratic Party that we were strong proponents of Israel, and most in the Republican Party too. That's got to continue. We've got to stop hearing people in politics criticize Israel, in my opinion.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Matt Flynn or any other question here, downtown Milwaukee, we are live here on a beautiful Monday. And yeah, we're going to start this for those that miss you, Matt. They can hear you. They can tune into our show every pretty much every Monday, unless Matt has another engagement. But we're going to call it Mondays with Matt, and you're going to join us at least the first hour of every
great
Monday. And really looking forward to that.
Because I look forward to it too, Ty. Get a great show.
Well, it's always better when you're along. Our callers as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, if you'd like to weigh in on this or any other subject here. Matt, I want to, before the break here, about a minute here before, and we'll pick up on it on the other side. Tomorrow night, that is, we're going to be down, not necessarily do this show, but on Tuesday, April, I guess this is next week, on the 23rd at 6 p.m. in Muscogee, Senator Kelder Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin are going to have a forum on higher education. So that's coming up next Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Public Hall in Muscogee. Just wanted to promo that. When we come back, what makes Wisconsin great? Brewers baseball. And honoring one of the Brewers' greats, Hank Aaron, a brand new U.S. Postal stamp in part because of the work of Tim Carpenter here in Milwaukee. Talk about that with Matt Flynn, live from MKE. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the Maggie Dawn Show with our friend Maggie Dawn, originating, I believe, today from Brady Street, not too far from where we are at, right downtown here in Milwaukee. Well, Maggie, I mean, we've already heard today that Matt Flynn is at least for now saying he's not going to run for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court vacancy next spring. Will Maggie Dawn run? Well, maybe she'll talk about it today. Tune into her program 2 until 4 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Maggie Dawn Show. Right now, joined by Matt Flynn. If you're watching on the stream, we have the beautiful Milwaukee County Courthouse behind us, high atop State Street here in Milwaukee. Matt Flynn joins us, and starting a new segment about every Monday or so, Mondays with Matt Flynn. Matt, always a pleasure to have you along here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
One of the things that we heard on our statewide tour here a couple weeks ago with Trygve Olson is, you know, they said, talk more about what makes Wisconsin great. Not just always the stuff that divides us, but what are the things that brings us together. And one of those, of course, is Milwaukee Brewers baseball. You have your Brewers cap on today. And I want to note a release from a great state senator, longtime Democratic state senator from the Milwaukee area here, Tim Carpenter from the 3rd District. He put this release out last week and saying that he's excited that the United States Postal Service has unveiled a new Henry Hank Aaron postage stamp to commemorate the 50th anniversary of his record-breaking 715th home run on April 8th of 1974. He says, quote, Senator Carpenter, more than 2 years ago, I wrote a letter with a group of colleagues to the Citizens Stamp Advisory Committee requesting that Hank Aaron be recognized on a postage stamp. The committee acknowledged the receipt of the letter and ultimately recommended the idea to the Postmaster General, unquote. Henry Hank Aaron, born on February 5th, 1934, died on January 22nd of 2021. Of course, a baseball legend, particularly here in Milwaukee, a humanitarian, a philanthropist. He faced racism throughout his entire career, especially as he approached and eventually surpassed Babe Ruth's home run record. But he did not let hate stop him from playing baseball. He set a precedent in the league by speaking out against unfair treatment. Aaron was a lifelong advocate and supporter of the civil rights movement. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame on April 1st, 1982. That according to the release from State Senator Tim Carpenter here in Milwaukee, who was a part of getting this commemorative stamp from the U.S. Postal Service. It's going to be super cool. There's a picture of it here, Matt Flynn.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about the history of Hank Aaron, particularly what he meant to the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
I will, and I'll tell you a personal anecdote. I had the pleasure of meeting him back in 1996. There's a fellow named Dick Artisan who was running for mayor of Milwaukee, a good friend of mine, and he was a good friend of Frank Aaron's. Dick Artisan's the sheriff, and one day Dick called me and said, I'm having Hank Aaron over here for a little get-together. And it was a fundraiser, so I went over, and there he was. And he autographed baseballs. He did in advance a whole bunch of baseballs, and there's some left over, and Dick said, take them home. So I have a number of baseballs autographed by Hank Aaron.
Wow.
What I want to tell you is two things about Frank Aaron. One is I have never met anyone with greater integrity and solemnity in his demeanor than Frank Aaron, ever.
Yeah.
This guy, it blew me away just to meet him. And the second thing is I got to know a little bit about him. And you may not believe this because Wisconsin's a very liberal state, for instance, compared to, say, Alabama. When he started out in the minors, it was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And back then, it wasn't easy to get served in a restaurant in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Or a rooming house. So what he would do is he'd practice all day. At the end of the day, he'd go back to his room and sit there all night. So we take for granted modern civil rights and all that, and it's still bad. But you have no idea what these guys had to put up with in the 1950s, even in the North.
That's absolutely. I did not know it started in Eau Claire,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, of course, he was with Milwaukee Braves, and then later went to Atlanta, then came back and kind of finished his career as a brewer. Of course, you go to I still call it County Stadium, but now currently the new stadium is AmFam Field, and you see his number out there retired number I know Bob Uecker, of course, knew him and talks about him. And, of course, we carry on some of our networks here at Civic Media, Milwaukee Brewers Baseball. And I think it was one of those things where, agree or disagree, Matt Flynn, that because of his position as a public figure in sports, that perhaps there were people that had negative opinions and opinions that you and I would disagree with on racism. But they kind of put that aside for a second during a sports event because they really wanted their team to do well. And I think it was that platform, and you could say, well, it shouldn't be that way, but popular figures, famous people have a platform, and it seems to me, Matt Flynn, that Hank Aaron used his the epitome to move forward civil rights.
I think that's true, and there's one other characteristic about him. He was a superb baseball player, but in addition to that, the suffering and the indignities that he had to put up with left a mark, and he overcame them. He overcame them with humility, with ability. And I'll say again, I have never met anybody who impressed me more in his demeanor, with his integrity, and with his solemnity.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an amazing, amazing individual, and I was very, very lucky to have met him for a whole evening like that.
Did he have a nice sense of humor too? Was he just a fun guy to be around as well?
Well, he was a night. No,
not
you know,
really.
You take a look at athletes now and some of the crazy stuff they do, and this, that, and the other thing. No, he didn't have. He didn't joke, and yeah. He put up with a lot.
In other words, joking times. Right? He went through a lot.
You're a young guy in the minors, and you have to go back to your room at night. You're lucky to have gotten a room, and nobody will serve you, even in Wisconsin.
Wow.
That is, no, he wasn't, there was no lightness of being there, but there's a solemnity of being and an integrity of being.
Wow. Well, he certainly, I can't think of anybody more so, especially in Wisconsin, the deserving of a U.S. Postage stamp.
Couldn't agree more. Hank
Aaron. So congratulations to his memory. Congratulations to his family. And thanks to Senator Tim Carpenter. I think a lot of time politicians, you know, they get a lot of grief. Here's a situation where Senator Carpenter worked across party lines and joined with people to get this done.
Right.
And it's good to, while we're here in downtown Milwaukee today, Matt, I think it's just good to recognize the things that do work. And Hank Aaron was one of those people as a history, not just for Milwaukee, but for the entire state of Wisconsin.
Right. And he's a transcendental figure. I mean, you have Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio and all that. Yeah. This is more than baseball. Right. This is more than baseball with Hank Aaron.
Mondays with Matt Flynn. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Okay, Chad, I always enjoy your show.
Always appreciate yours. Thanks to all the phone calls. Thanks to Aaron Zomers getting it done back in the studio. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn's show next. From downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin, high atop State Street, looking to the Milwaukee County Courthouse. It's been a beautiful day. Look out for the weather tomorrow, though. We'll see you then back at the home studio. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. This is Tallball saying, keep banging your drum.
Banging on your drum.